you and Mark DeSouver went to East
County. Mark DeSouver and I were on the same block when we were kids.
No kidding.
Yeah. There wasn't even a block. It was sand dunes. And there was one blacktop street that went down to the ocean in San Francisco called Taravelle. And the people who worked in the shipyards, Victory ships, were given a compensation, which means that they were given housing in the Sunset District, which at that time hadn't been built. So they put up a few experimental houses. And there were four in the middle of a sand lot. One of them was the DeSouvreau family and our family. And Mark used to hang out with my older brother, and I used to tag along. I was about 5 or 6 years younger, and I was their step and fetch it. So I've known Mark all my life.
Tell me about Mark, just for a second. How would you describe him?
I would describe Mark as a person with a tremendous amount of passion and integrity, who, after being pinned on the top of an elevator shaft and having his body broken and told he would never walk again, reforged himself like a nail, and got up and continued to make a significant American sculpture. I mean, I think he's totally admirable. Mark's mother used to bring me in the back of her room and say, come here, little boy. And she had a big globe, and she would spin the globe and put stamps in the stamp book and say, see this stamp? That's from Kenya. This is where Kenya is. And they had come from China. They were in Italy first, and I knew them when I was 4 and 5 and 6. And Mark's mother was like this fantasy lady for me, who was took delight in educating young people. So she was kind of like my aunt, Mark's mother. Mark's younger brother, his name's Henry, he did a piece called Hank Champion, was one of my brother's closest friends, my older brother. My older brother's an attorney in San Francisco, and so was Hank an attorney.
What a story.
It's a coincidence, strange coincidence.
What about your father? Can you describe his father?
Mark's father?
Yeah.
He was a wine salesman, as far as he worked in the shipyards, and then he became a wine salesman. But basically, he was a person who was walking through the sand dunes in a three-piece suit. He was an old country gentleman. And to tell you the truth, when we were growing up, I never paid much attention to the fact that Mark became a sculptor. I could tell you what we used to do, though. There were eucalyptus trees all around, and we used to make tree huts. And we used to build, because in a period of, I would say, 5 years, they built maybe 5 square miles of houses. So we watched this enormous building go on right in front of us, from backhoeing to snapping lines to throwing up framing walls. So to watch that kind of building, and the DeSouvreau family was quite brave. At one point, Mark was going to go away to school. So Mark, not knowing how to swim, we got all this lumber together, and my father and Mark's father and older brother named Victor and Mark and my brother and Hank built a boat for Mark to go to school. Now, listen to how naive this is, completely naive. It never happened again. I don't think anybody would do this. Mark didn't know how to navigate. Mark didn't know how to swim. Mark was going to go away to school, to Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah.
Which is about 400 miles down the coast.
Yeah.
Two families got together to build him a boat to send him off to sea to launch him, and the boat sank like that. The Coast Guard pulled him out. But can you believe, like,
It's almost like a fairy story.
Well, it's naive.
It's fable.
Well, it's like it's naive old world parents saying, oh, our son has to go to school. He wants to go to school where? Oh, and they look on the map and they say, oh, it's down the coast. Oh, we'll send him in a boat. Right? And we'll build a boat, we'll send him in a boat. I mean, it's old world thinking. And the boat sank, and Mark didn't swim, and they pulled him out by his teeth, and he took the train, the daylight special. But it's true. And there's something pioneering about the spirit there, too. And that, it was about making things. That wasn't foreign to us. To get a nail and a hammer and knock something together was what you did. It wasn't something extraordinary.
Okay, making things.
Making things.
But that's what you do.
Yeah, we made our own toys. And we made our own huts so we could shoot at each other with BB guns. You know, then when they finally built black tops, 43rd fought 44th. And Mark and I lived in 43rd, so we fought the next block. But you made things. Making things was part of something we did. Working with your hands was something you learned. Not as an apprentice, but something that you did like other people are farmers. It was something that was an extension of yourself. Your hand was a tool. You knew that. Because that's what your father did. That's what his father... They were working the shipyards, these men. And they didn't know shipyards from beans. They learned that. I think that there was a tremendous amount of... freedom then. When I was a little kid, there were no schools, so I had to travel halfway across San Francisco and take three streetcars to change, like, well, I was six, seven, eight, just to go to school. So the idea of locale, you weren't stuck on your corner. There was something about, like, we were on the fringe of San Francisco. The city was downtown. We were living in sand dunes. There was something fairly primitive about it. We were first-generation Americans living in sand dunes with European parents that were not embarrassing.